Whether you're gifting, decorating, or treating yourself, Lowe's December Deal Drops are here to help you save more all month long. Get up to 50% off select holiday decor. Plus, get up to 45% off select tools and accessories. Shop new December Deal Drops every week this month and get so much more out of your holidays. Lowe's, we help you save. Selection varies by location while supplies last.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Happy to have you with us today. And there is a lot going on. And we want to start with some breaking news coming out of our coming out of Virginia, involving the FBI, and this is all happening in real time, and we'll bring you some audio from the FBI press conference momentarily. But we can tell you that earlier today, the FBI announced they had a suspect in federal custody in connection to this crazy pipe bomb story, going all the way back to January the 5th. The eve of the J6, whatever that was, at the Capitol, there was somebody placed two pipe bombs near the Republican and Democratic National Committee headquarters, and there was a lot of concern over who did it. A lot of speculation over who did it. The Blaze came out with this blockbuster bombshell of a report a couple of weeks ago, alleging it was some sort of a female. A member of the Capitol Police. But now we understand, according to the FBI, and this is from the reporting of Fox News as well, the man in custody is 30-year-old Brian Cole Jr. of Woodbridge, and he's being described as an anarchist. That's all the information we've got on this guy right now, but we can tell you there is a massive FBI presence outside of what is believed to be this man's home in Virginia. And it's a beautiful home. I mean, it looks to be probably a, you know, $700,000-$800,000 home. So we're going to be getting, I'm sure, more information about this here momentarily. Now, it was interesting that FBI Director Dan Bongino, and this, you got to go back to his time when he was on TV and doing the radio show and the podcast. Bongino had suggested that all of this was an inside job. And then in May, he told Fox News that authorities were closing in on suspects in the case. So we don't know if more people were involved, but we can tell you that this is the guy they have in custody, 30-year-old Brian Cole Jr. of Woodbridge, Virginia. So that's pretty much the extent of what we've got as far as information. When we gather more, we will certainly bring that to you. Our telephone number, by the way, and welcome to the show. Great to have you with us. 901-260-5926. Again, that number, 901-260-5926. And we'll be covering this story as well as some reporting about Speaker Mike Johnson. And there is a lot of nervous Republicans right now, and with good reason. Now, we've been preparing you for this conversation for months now, and it's just clear to me that something is not right with Speaker Johnson. And I've been pretty vocal about this. I was a big supporter of the Speaker, and we have praised him when he has done something good. But more often than not, there has just been a lot of frustration. And at times, I was getting a lot of blowback from other Republicans, and I was getting a lot of blowback from conservatives who said I was betraying the Speaker. Well, I owe no allegiance to Speaker Mike Johnson or anyone else. But there is great frustration and great concern within the Republican caucus. Now, the New York Times has a piece up, and they are quoting a number of female members of Congress who say that Mike Johnson has a problem with females in leadership. Now, there are other females who dispute that, but you've got Elise Stefanik out of New York, now Nancy Mace, telling people that she is so frustrated that she is possibly going to leave Congress early and retire like Marjorie Taylor Greene did. Also, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Congresswoman Anna Paulina Luna. And she actually had to go around Speaker Johnson to force a vote on one of the bills that would have banned folks from stock trading. So there are a lot of folks that are disturbed by the way Mike Johnson is leading the Republicans. And in many cases, by the way, let me just say this. In many cases, I've been hearing from a lot of conservatives off the record from Washington who have expressed concerns about Mike Johnson and his staff. And I know that, and I have some very dear friends who are incredibly close to Mike Johnson, and they say, no, it's not Mike Johnson, it's his staff. You know, it's the worst staff in Washington, D.C. These people can't do anything. These people aren't even conservative. And I'm like, well, okay, I get that. So why is Mike Johnson hiring people who are not conservative? Why is Mike Johnson hiring people that are keeping him at a distance, and it's not even an arm's length, it's like a mile away from all the conservatives that truly matter? Why is that? And that's on Mike Johnson. I understand they want to try to, I get it. He does have a horrible staff, but he's the one that hired that staff. And if he's got problems with them, and I know that he's being told that he has problems with them, then they've got to do something about that. He has to do something about it. Congressman Kevin Kiley talking to the New York Times, and the congressman's been a guest on this program, and look, he's really frustrated because of what Governor Gavin Newsom is doing with Prop 50. Kevin Kiley's going to be out of a job. He said, rarely have things been completely harmonious in the conference, but it does seem like there is an unusually high level of discontent. This is what Congressman Kiley says. He is a conservative California Republican, and he's been at odds with Mike Johnson over the redistricting battles. Kiley goes on to say the overriding issue in the House has not been at the forefront of driving policymaking or the agenda in Washington. That is naturally going to be frustrating to members who ran for Congress to make an impact on issues they care about. And so what Kiley is saying is what we've been saying for a very long time on this program is that the Republicans are going to have difficulty running for reelection because they made all these promises and yet none of them have actually come true. And most of that is on Mike Johnson. Actually, all of that is. Mike Johnson is the one who's got to get out there and ramrod this agenda, the president's agenda, through Congress. According to the Times, the rifts have opened as Republicans prepare to face voters in next year's elections, and they are increasingly worried they have squandered a year in which their party had total control of government. Many Republican lawmakers are unhappy with the passive role the speaker played in the redistricting arms race that spread across the country and upended districts they know how to win. Even more are angry, and here, this is interesting, even more are angry at his decision to send the House home for nearly 8 weeks before and during the government shutdown, limiting what they have been able to accomplish. Members in competitive districts are desperate for a vote on extending expiring Affordable Care Act subsidies, which Mr. Johnson is resisting. Elise Stefanik telling the Wall Street Journal that Johnson would not have the support to remain speaker if a vote were held tomorrow, adding that disaffection with him among Republicans was that widespread. Mr. Johnson declined to comment, but a senior Republican congressional aide who spoke on the condition of anonymity for fear of prolonging an intra-party feud said that after Mr. Johnson had provided Ms. Stefanik with office space and a budget for a fake job and fake title, he would have expected her to be more gracious. Well, that's not going to ingratiate anybody. Jeez, Alou. By the way, she got screwed. Oh, you feel bad for Elise Stefanik. You might remember she was in House leadership. Then Trump asked her to serve as ambassador to the UN, and she agreed to do that. Then the president comes back and pulls the nomination away and says, "No, we want somebody else." So now she has a new title called Chairwoman of the House Republican Leadership, which basically does nothing. Kind of feel bad for her. According to the New York Times, Ms. Stefanik is not alone among Republican women in feeling aggrieved by Johnson. Some of them said privately the speaker had failed to listen to them or engage in direct conversations on major political and policy issues. And here it comes. They are bringing up his evangelical Christian faith, and they're suggesting that Mike Johnson is putting women in their place on Capitol Hill. I truly do not believe that part of the story. But I find everything else here to be credible because we have heard a lot of these concerns. And yours truly was, and when I say the first, for a long time I was the only person raising the alarm bells about Mike Johnson. And look, here's the deal. We can't let the Democrats take control of Congress. We just can't. If that happens, everything, the entire agenda just comes to a halt. So we've got to make sure that the House of Representatives is running on all cylinders here. And we've got to make sure that Mike Johnson is the leader we need him to be. And the reality is, if some of these, and let me just caution, and again, we had the chairman of the Georgia Republican Party on, Josh McCoons, a couple of days ago. And I flat out asked the guy, I said, if she stays, are you guys okay with that if she decides to change her mind? And it was very clear that that's what they're hoping is going to happen here. So my plea to people like Nancy Mace and Elise Stefanik and MTG, don't resign. Finish your term in office. At least, even if you hate Mike Johnson's guts, I get that. But you have a responsibility not to the Speaker of the House, but to your constituents. And my encouragement is for you to stay put. Don't go anywhere. Why do you want to throw it all away? Why do you want to stick it to what? You're not sticking it to Mike Johnson. You're sticking it to Donald J. Trump. That's what's happening. And then ultimately, you're sticking it to all of us. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to get stuck. I mean, nobody wants that. TheHill.com reporting on this Wall Street Journal piece, Stefanik said Johnson is a political novice and not fit to be speaker. I agree with that. I don't believe he has He does not have the tools necessary to be the sort of leader you need to be on Capitol Hill. And that's unfortunate. And that's nothing on Mike Johnson. You can certainly blame all the people that voted for him. But in all honesty, looking back on it now, we would have been better off with Kevin McCarthy. Because at least McCarthy is a fighter and he understands how to truly motivate people to do what needs to be done. All right, we've got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Every so often, a film comes along that challenges us to look closer at what's happening in our own backyard. Sexploited is that film, a gripping new four-part docuseries that uncovers the reality of sexual exploitation happening in every community in America. You will hear from survivors, law enforcement, and advocates who are fighting to expose and end this modern-day slavery. It's not easy to watch, but it's something every American needs to see. You can stream Sexploited right now or purchase the DVD by visiting sexploitedfilm.com or salemnow.com. That's sexploitedfilm.com or salemnow.com. Watch it, share it, and stand with those working to bring freedom and justice to the exploited. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Happy to have you with us. So we are following this breaking news out of Virginia, where a man, 33 years old, Brian Cole is his name, has been arrested and in connection to the J6 pipe bomb, the DC pipe bomb case, we were watching video of the home, and this is a very, very well-to-do neighborhood. The agent storming the guy's house. There are reports now that more arrests may be coming in the case. So we'll be following this and waiting for an official press conference, and hopefully that will happen. The guy's being described as an anarchist. But I got to say, anarchists normally don't live in nice neighborhoods like that. I'm just telling you. All right, I want to play some audio going back to what we were talking about with Mike Johnson before the break. And, you know, a lot of people alarmed over the election in Tennessee on Tuesday. The Republican won, and which is great. We need every single body we can get on the Republican side of the aisle. But people are getting a little concerned that Democrats are developing momentum on the affordability issue. Here's Congressman Tim Burchett, cut number five.
I'm always concerned, to be honest with you. I always say either run scared or run opposed. I've been to the district several times. I know Matt very well. He's an excellent candidate. And complacency within our party is a problem. 12% of the population goes out and votes. I mean, that's the problem with both parties. We have evangelical Christians, which I associate with, in my beliefs. 45% of them don't go to the polls. 30% of gun owners don't go to the polls. And our schools are mass-producing Marxist in that belief system. And, yeah, we got a real problem, and we better wake up. And Tennessee was, I think we drew the line in the sand. I think they woke up and they got to the polls.
Do you believe that, ladies and gentlemen? Do you believe what Congressman Burchett just said there, that the Republican Party has a complacency problem? And if so, what's the solution? How do you fix that? You know, it seems to me that one of the reasons we may have a complacency problem is that we're not doing anything, right? This was the same thing that happened to the Republican Congress when Trump got elected in the first place, the first term. Same thing happened. And again, you're looking, you know, the White House does a great job of cataloging all of the incredible successes President Trump has had. I mean, he really is the most successful president in American history, and I believe he will go down as the greatest president in American history. If for nothing else, this man saved us from the clutches of the socialist. No doubt about that. So now you've got all of these folks out there saying, well, you know, we just need to slow things down. We've got too much going on, and we need to really step back. No, that this is not the time to step back. So I think it's really incumbent upon all of us as Republicans to get out there and work the phones and let these lawmakers know that we expect them to advance the president's agenda, and we're going to have their back. We're going to have their back as they fight for the president's agenda. But Burchett says this is, and it's not just the elected leaders, but Republicans in general just do not like to get out and vote. And that was another big issue in the Tennessee race. You had a lot of Republicans who stayed home. And there are a lot there. Trust me on this. And I know this because I've seen it firsthand. There are people on both sides of the Republican aisle, rhinos and America First folks. And they have the same mindset. It's my way or the highway. And if my guy or my gal doesn't get the nomination, then I'm out. I'm not going to support you. You will either agree with everything or you get nothing. And that's why Republicans lose elections, ladies and gentlemen. We've got to figure that out. Oh, also what we have to figure out, this month we are soft launching our big fundraising effort for the Todd Stearns Show, and we would love your help. And if you go to toddstearns.com right now during the break, you will see a great link there. You'll see President Trump's face. Ways you can support the show. I want you to go to our website, toddstearns.com, click on that link, and see if you'll be able to help us out a little bit. All right, hang tight, everybody. Got to take a break. This is the Todd Stearns Show. MyPillow is excited to announce they're having their biggest 3-in-1 sale ever with a limited edition product, a back-in-stock special, and a closeout deal you won't find anywhere else. MyPillow bed sheets only $29.88, any color, any style, any size, even kings. Regularly priced at $119.98 and now only $29.88. Once they're gone for good. My towels, finally, back in stock, but not for long. Get a 6-piece My Towel set, normally priced at $69.98, now only $39.98. And for the first and only time, get their limited edition premium MyPillows made with Giza cotton. Queen $17.98, Kings only $19.98. Also for a limited time, when your order is over $100, you'll receive free shipping plus $100 in free digital gifts. So go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. Use your promo code for the best offers ever. Quantities are extremely limited, so order now. That's promo code STARNS. All right. Welcome back, everybody, to the Todd Stern Show. I want to talk about this Turning Point USA thing. There's a lot of stuff going on between Turning Point USA and Candace Owens, and a lot of accusations and a lot of things happening. So yesterday, on the Charlie Kirk show, Blake Neff, who is a producer of the show, debunked, or at least tried to debunk, a lot of the conspiracy theories that are being promoted by Candace. And over the past couple of months, I mean, it's been horrifyingly ugly, and the accusations that Candace is levying and leveling against Turning Point USA, the allegations that Charlie's his internal people may have betrayed him, that Israel may have been involved, a plane from Egypt, that it could have been the Israelis who took him out. I mean, just all sorts of conspiracy theories are being banted about. And Turning Point USA is now pushing back. And I think it's a little bit too late because they should have done it from day one. And I have so many questions about the assassination, so many questions about the investigation. And it's interesting because the Turning Point faithful, the rank and file, they don't want you asking any questions at all. And I've got a problem with that. Anytime somebody says you can't ask a question, it's the journalist inside of me that it just raises the red flags. And I keep going back to, you know, the narrative, the fact that clearly when you look at the video of the crime scene, that it was not secured, immediately secured, that there was, why was there no ambulance there? Why was there no first aid already pre-positioned? Where was all of the, and again, these are just questions that I think are fair questions. Why wasn't the, you know, I mean, when you look at the video of the shooting itself, there was very little blood splatter on the back of that tent. And I just have a lot of questions about that. The idea, they're telling us that Charlie's body was so strong that he was superhuman and that his body literally stopped the bullet from exiting the neck. Okay, I don't understand how that's possible, but okay, if that's what you're telling us. Because the gun enthusiast and the gun experts are saying that's just impossible. Were other people involved? Who is the old guy that they arrested initially and who was screaming, "I did it," and then he turns around and says he did that so that the real shooter could get away? How did he know to do that? How did he know to say that? How did he know any of that was going to happen? So I don't know. Maybe I'm just the anomaly or I'm the odd duck out in all of this, but I just have a lot of questions. And it just seems to me that Charlie Kirk deserves justice. And we need to know what's happening. Now I want to go back to Candace for a moment. Let me just say this. I don't know who her sources are. She says she has a lot of people on the inside. By the way, two other people who identified themselves as Turning Point USA staffers say that there was a lot of really shady stuff going on within the Turning Point USA organization. Whether or not that's true, I don't know. That's what they're out there saying. But Candace Owens says she has all of these contacts. All of these people are feeding her information from within the Turning Point USA organization. And so everything she says may in fact be true. I cannot refute anything she says because I can't verify anything she said. But here's what I will tell you. The first time somebody comes out, and by the way, Candace Owens and Tucker and Megyn Kelly, all of these folks, they have very large platforms. And Candace Owens is incredibly influential. And a lot of people have bought into every single thing that she has said. But it's like every other day, there's some sort of a new conspiracy theory, and they all may be true. It very well may be that, I don't know, Brigitte Macron, the First Lady of France, who Candace Owens says is really a man, actually rented a jet from the Egyptians and is a secret agent for the Israelis, and she flew to Utah Valley State University, and maybe, I don't know. I mean, all of this may be true. It seems far-fetched. But here's what I do know. If she would have been making those accusations against yours truly, I would be screaming into this microphone for 3 hours every single day, denying everything she said. I would be demanding that my name be cleared. I would have the most expensive lawyers in the country going after whoever was making those accusations. That's just me. So the fact that Turning Point USA just waited so long to finally, and now I guess they're challenging her to some sort of a debate or inviting her on the show, and she's accepted. I'm sorry, that's all BS. You know, and this country doesn't need more BS. You know, let's get the information out there. Put the facts out. This is not about a podcast. It's not about getting clicks. It's not about getting followers. It's about finding out what happened. Now, it very well may be that at the end of the day, you have a very messed up guy on a roof that had a lucky shot and killed Charlie Kirk. That may be the case. Or there could be some sort of a vast conspiracy to take Charlie out. And I hope we find out. I really do. And I see all the, you know, people are posting. I wrote about this on the Facebook page. I'm getting a lot of hate mail, and that's fine. I don't mind that at all. It comes with the territory. But when you tell Todd Stearns, hey, don't you be asking questions about this? You know what? I'm going to be asking questions about that. And it just seems to me that Charlie deserves it. His family deserves it. And there's just been a lot of weird stuff. And it's like, and you can't, you know, and the argument is, oh, well, you can't talk about that because that person's in mourning. Okay, well, that person is also sending out fundraising emails and fundraising pamphlets, raising money off a dead person. That's a little unseemly to me, but that's just me. And I understand, I've heard it. Well, people just grieve in different ways. Okay, yes, I've lost very close loved ones. My parents died when I was a pretty young guy. I didn't send out fundraising letters. I don't know, it just seems weird. There's a lot of weirdness around this. And you know what I keep coming back to this comparison. It's kind of like what happened in Butler County, Pennsylvania, with yet another person on a roof that shouldn't have been there. And yet, here we are, gosh, well over a year, and we don't know anything. We don't know anything about anything. And you've got some of those same people saying, don't be asking questions about that now. Don't be asking questions. That's when I ask questions. But here's one thing that I am greatly concerned about, is that Turning Point USA, they were very influential in the culture, and especially with young people. And there are a lot of people right now in the conservative world trying to be that next Charlie Kirk. And that's why you're seeing people like Megyn Kelly and others out there and on the speaking circuit. The reality is most of those people did not actually share the same set of values that Charlie had. And that's fine, but nobody's going to be the next Charlie Kirk. It's just like when Rush Limbaugh passed away and you had all these people, oh, well, I'm going to be the next Rush Limbaugh. I'm going to scream into a microphone every single day. Well, first of all, Rush didn't scream into a microphone. And number two, you're not Rush Limbaugh. You're never going to be Rush Limbaugh. But people tried and people say, oh, I'm the next Rush. No, you're not. Stop. Be yourself. That's what we do on this show. And I appreciate the kind words when people call in and say, you know, you remember me. You remember, you kind of sound like Rush. And I take that as a compliment, but I don't consider myself to be the next Rush Limbaugh. Never did. Never will. I'm just happy being Todd Stearns. But there's something that troubles me about this Turning Point USA story. And I want to finish my thought here. Turning Point USA was important to the culture. And you saw that in the aftermath of all of this, when young people just started turning out in droves and showing up and speaking out, and it was a big deal. That's why they got to get this figured out. That's why Candace and whoever over at Turning Point USA, they've got to sit down and they got to figure this out. And unfortunately, it should be something that happens behind closed doors. That's not going to work. They got to do it in open, in public. Get it all out there. And if Candace has all this evidence and she keeps telling us, I'm going to present the evidence, present the damn evidence. Get it out there. Get it all out there, and let's be done with this so we can move on. If people have done wrongdoing, those people need to be exposed and they need to be punished. If people are bilking money out of Turning Point USA, those people need to be punished as well. But if we're not careful, hear me on this. If we're not careful, we're going to blow the midterm elections, because this is going to demoralize a generation of American young conservative kids who have embraced this organization. And if this organization turns out not to be what it professed to be, that is going to be catastrophic. And maybe that's the whole point to all of this, is that people, and there are people that do not want Turning Point USA to have that much influence. They don't want Turning Point USA to have that much power. And I have no doubt that all of this was moving in the direction of a Charlie Kirk presidency. I have no doubt about that. They were building the platforms for all of this to happen. And it could very well be possible that there were powers at work here that did not want that to happen. And now they're trying to destroy the entire organization. And if they're not careful, they're going to be very successful. But I suspect that's what this is really all about. All right, we got to take a break, and I'll take your calls on this as well. People have been asking me about this, and I'm just, it's ugly. And I got no sources inside TPUSA. But I'm telling you, they've got to get this fixed. Otherwise, it is going to impact every single one of us at the ballot box. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, it's gift season.
Ugh, stressing me out. Why are the people I love so hard to shop for?
Probably because they only make boring gift guides that are totally uninspired. Except for the guide we made.
In partnership with Marshalls, where premium gifts meet incredible value.
It's giving gifts! With categories like best gifts for the mom whose idea of a sensible walking shoe is a stiletto.
Or best gifts for me that were so thoughtful I really shouldn't have.
Check out the guide on marshalls.com.
And gift the good stuff at Marshalls.
right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. And we'll keep you updated on this Turning Point USA thing. You know, again, for the young people of the country, it really meant something to them. And I just hate it. I hate that it's literally being destroyed in front of our very eyes. And I suspect that there is a lot of money involved. There's a lot of power involved. You know, I go back, though, to the Turning Point event that we helped to promote in Memphis at the University of Memphis. It was the Kyle Rittenhouse event. And one of the things that really concerned me was the complete lack of security and the lack of preparation. And again, I can understand if you're going into a situation blind, but I had personally called management at Turning Point USA and told them, you guys need to make sure that you have security on site because this could turn dangerous very quickly. And it did. And I remember getting the panicked phone calls saying that they were being chased off campus and they needed a place, a safe space to hide. And I said, I gave them the address of the radio station I own, KWAM, and the radio station really became a lifeboat. And there were, 25-30 people in the building. I showed up and unlocked everything so, you know, at least they would have some place. And, of course, we have our own security here at the Mighty 990. So I can assure you they were safe in our building. But, again, it's just, I don't know if it's naivete, but when you're at that level, you can't be taking chances like that. And that was very clear. When you looked at the security apparatus, there should have been people on the rooftops. I don't care where you're at. If you're in an outdoor gathering, you need to have eyeballs on the rooftops, if not bodies up there. So there you go. This story, and we're going to talk to our good buddy, Dr. Paul Chappell from West Coast Baptist College, and he's the pastor at Lancaster Baptist Church. He's coming up in the last hour. But there are some churches around the country, and they're turning their nativity scenes into political statements. In Boston, St. Susanna Catholic Church, they posted a sign on its nativity, and the sign said, ICE was here. But Joseph, Mary, and the baby Jesus were nowhere to be seen. And we were being told by the church that the statues of Joseph, Mary, and the baby Jesus were snatched away by the ICE agents. And so they had these woke theologians, and they claimed that Jesus was an illegal immigrant, which is simply not true. The Catholic Action League of Massachusetts says the display was offensive, and they accused the priest of using the church as a platform to promote left-wing ideology. Honestly, the priest ought to be removed from the pulpit because he doesn't know the Bible. Also, in Lake Street Church, in Evanston, Illinois, they depicted the baby Jesus with his hands zip-tied. Instead of wise men, there were ICE agents surrounding the manger. Mary was wearing a respirator mask to protect herself from the tear gas. Now, this again is a woke church. They fly Black Lives Matter banners and other social justice banners. It sounds to me like Jesus left that church and the other church a very long time ago. Unbelievable. We're going to talk to Dr. Chappell about that. And also, he's going to debunk the idea that Jesus and Mary and Joseph were illegals. It's simply not true. All right, got to take a break coming up. 901-260-5926. Again, 901-260-5926. Head over to the website, toddstearns.com, in the break. Again, we're looking just for the month of December. We're soft launching our big fundraising efforts. We're creating a foundation that is going to raise up and train next generation journalists. We're going to be building out our news platform over at toddstearns.com. And for us to be able to do all of those things, we need your help. And so we're looking for you to make an end-of-the-year donation and become a supporter of what we're doing here at the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Good journalism is going to be a necessity as we move into the election cycle. So ToddStearns.com, you can make a donation, $5, $10, $50, whatever you can give. And we just greatly appreciate that. You'll see the banner on the page. All right, hang tight, everybody. Got to take a quick break. This is the Todd Stern Show.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, it's gift season.
Ugh, stressing me out. Why are the people I love so hard to shop for?
Probably because they only make boring gift guides that are totally uninspired. Except for the guide we made.
In partnership with Marshalls, where premium gifts meet incredible value.
It's giving gifts! With categories like best gifts for the mom whose idea of a sensible walking shoe is a stiletto.
Or best gifts for me that were so thoughtful I really shouldn't have.
Check out the guide on Marshalls.com.
And gift the good stuff at Marshalls.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Hope you're doing great wherever you might be. By the way, coming up in just, well, we think it. Any moment now, we're expecting some sort of a press conference coming from the Justice Department, Pam Bondi, FBI Director Cash Patel. All the big wigs are going to be out there talking about this suspect who's been arrested in the J6 pipe bombing case. Now, we're getting some new intel here, and it turns out this guy was actually on the Fed's radar from day one, but for whatever reason, they decided not to go after him. And we understand he's in his 30s, a guy by the name of Brian Cole, who may be an anarchist, from what we're being told. You know what's interesting is the media coverage here is not all that great. And it makes me wonder, why is that? What else is going on here? What do they know that we don't know just yet? By the way, Kamala Harris, who is literally, 20 feet away from the bomb, said absolutely nothing. There's been no post, nothing at all thanking FBI agents of the J6 committee. Nobody on that committee has said anything at all. It really does make you wonder what in the world is going on. So we will keep you updated on whatever happens, and we'll dip into the press conference once that starts. I'm very intrigued to know. We had heard some reports there may be other suspects, possibly more arrests coming. But again, we will have to wait until official confirmation before all of that happens. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I was doing some reading last night. I've been working on a new book project and came across some audio from back in the 1990s, a simpler time in America, where Bill Clinton was chasing interns around the Oval Office. And there was a guy by the name of Ross Perot. Any of you folks remember old Ross Perot? He was sort of like the Donald Trump of that era. Here was a man who was a man's man. He was a self-made bazillionaire. And he was so disgusted with both political parties that he decided to run as an independent. And it was the most successful independent presidency of all time, at least the campaign, until, Ross Perot went a little squirrely on us. But anyway, Ross Perot said something about both political parties, and I wanted you guys to hear it. Let's take a listen.
Well, they've got a point. I don't have any experience in running up a $4 trillion debt. I don't have any experience in gridlock government where nobody takes responsibility for anything and everybody blames everybody else. I don't have any experience in creating the worst public school system in the industrialized world, the most violent, crime-ridden society in the industrialized world. But I do have a lot of experience in getting things done. So if we're at a point in history where we want to stop talking about it and do it, I've got a lot of experience in figuring out how to solve problems, making the solutions work, and then moving on to the next one. I've got a lot of experience not taking 10 years to solve a 10-minute problem. So if it's time for action, I think I have experience that counts. If there's more time for gridlock and talk and finger-pointing, I'm the wrong man.
Yeah, so Perot, and he ran, I think, under the Reform Party banner is how he ran for office. You know, at one point during the election campaign, you had, and by the way, it was Bill Clinton, George H.W. Bush, and then Ross Perot. Now, what was fascinating about all of this is that George H.W. Bush, and one of the reasons Perot jumped in is because Bush lied to the American people. Said, you know what? Read my lips, no new taxes. That's what he said. Read my lips, no new taxes. And Bush lied. Perot jumps into the race. At one point, he was actually leading all of the other candidates. He had 39% compared to George Bush at 31% and William Jefferson Clinton at 25%. And Perot was getting a lot of support in nationwide polling, and he did incredibly well during the debates. I mean, that was huge. So in the 1992 election, he got 18.9% of the popular vote. It's about 19,741,000 votes. Did not get any electoral college votes, but that made him the most successful non-major party presidential candidate in American history. Well, going back to Teddy Roosevelt in the 1912 election. But what I found fascinating here is if Ross Perot had not been in that race, George H.W. Bush would have actually won. Bill Clinton was really struggling. And Perot took enough votes away from George H.W. Bush to give William Jefferson Bill Clinton the presidency. So as much as we celebrate Ross Perot, you do have to wonder, what would the country have been like without a Clinton presidency? I mean, the interns would have been safe. We would not have had Mrs. Bill Clinton. She would still, well, she would have divorced Bill by now, but otherwise she would have still been an attorney in Little Rock. Good old Ross Perot. So again, it's possible. If you've got a message that resonates with the American people, like Ross Perot did, yeah, you're gonna do well. You're going to go places. All right, we got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Oh, Matt Van Epps from Tennessee, officially sworn in, the newest member of Congress, and gives us an additional Republican body in the event that we lose anybody else up there. But the entire Tennessee congressional delegation was there, including our next guest, the congressman from the great state of Tennessee, wants to be the next governor of the volunteer state, John Rose. Congressman, good to have you with us today.
Good afternoon, Todd. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, yeah, that was mighty fast. So Matt Van Epps already boots on the ground working. What was that experience like today?
Well, it was wonderful to see us fill that empty seat and, you know, add to our numbers and makes it that much easier. You know, I guess like a 33% increase in our margin. So, you know, it's a pretty good, maybe 50%, I guess, if I do my math right. So, you know, very helpful to the speaker and to the Republican majority and ultimately to getting the president, continuing to put the president's agenda in place for restoring the greatness of our country. And proud to have Matt Van Epps and great to see a large contingent of Tennesseans there supporting him as he was sworn in this morning.
Yeah, the majority now in the House at 220, glad to see that happen. You know, Congressman, your social media and especially your Twitter feed, your X feed, man, you have been smoking lately. I mean, it's just very spicy stuff, and you're just unafraid to call out whoever needs to be called out. And one of the interesting things I saw was the Safeguard American Voter Eligibility Act, the SAVE Act. And yeah, as you pointed out, you guys did your job in the House. What is going on over in the Senate? Why the delay?
Well, it's a good question. We need to get that passed because we all know from 2020 and recent elections, we just can't trust what's happening in many states across the country, particularly the states that are under Democratic rule. And they, you know, they are manipulating the outcome, manipulating the votes. And we just have got to get, safeguards in place. And the SAVE Act does that. The House passed it long ago. The Senate needs to take it up. And, you know, the House has just been humming all year getting legislation like that across the finish line. And we need, and I know, you know, there are times when it's more difficult in the Senate to move things, but this is one that they should be pressing forward.
I want to play some audio from a colleague of yours, Congressman Tim Burchett over in East Tennessee, talking about the Republican Party, talking about the vote the other day in the 7th Congressional District. But overall, he said the Republican Party's got a problem. And I want to play this. Let's play Cut 5, please.
I'm always concerned, to be honest with you. I always say either run scared or run opposed. I've been to the district several times. I know Matt very well. He's an excellent candidate. And complacency within our party is a problem. 12% of the population goes out and votes. I mean, that's the problem with both parties. We have evangelical Christians, which I associate with, in my beliefs. 45% of them don't go to the polls. 30% of gun owners don't go to the polls. And our schools are mass-producing Marxist in that belief system. And, yeah, we got a real problem, and we better wake up. And Tennessee was, I think we drew the line in the sand. I think they woke up and they got to the polls.
Your response to Congressman Burchett?
Well, I think he's right in that we always need to be, paranoid a little bit and working hard to motivate those folks who share the values that we have of restoring the greatness of this country. So in that regard, I agree with what he's saying. And ultimately, I think he is reaching the right conclusion about what we saw on Tuesday with the special election in the 7th District of Tennessee. I think when you look at that and you really unpack it and think about it, Republicans did get the vote out. And it was a special election, so a particularly difficult time to get turnout, and particularly when you're the party in power and your voters might tend to be complacent and think I'm not really needed. I think that's just not true. It's never true. And that's the challenge we face this next year in the midterm elections. It's also easy to expect too much too quick. It took the Democrats 4 years to dig the hole with respect to affordability and runaway inflation that we saw during the Biden years as a result of the Biden profligate spending and bad policies with respect to restricting energy production and all those things that Biden was doing. And so we've seen a lot of progress very quick, I think just unprecedented progress, as Speaker Johnson would say, among the most productive congressional sessions in the modern era, certainly, and perhaps ranking high among those ever in terms of what we've done in 10 months. So I feel good about where we are. Ultimately, the measure of this is what do the American people feel? And so, you know, I was down in Memphis last Monday, Thanksgiving week, and I filled up with gas down that way for $2.39 a gallon. That's the lowest price for gasoline that we've seen since Trump was president the last time. And that will start to cascade through the economy and making everything more affordable. Thanksgiving more affordable, turkey down 16%, eggs down 50% since this president got into office. And I think as you see us, you see the impact of the all of the above energy policy of the president and the other, economic policies, I think you'll see prices start to mitigate. Certainly inflation is already down as a top line number. But we've still got high prices and 4 years of, really tough circumstances for working Americans. And so we've just got to stay the course and we've got to communicate effectively. I think Tennesseans illustrated on Tuesday that they get it. And so, that district obviously is an R+10 and Matt, won by almost 10 points. So,
I know Mark Green won that, plus 21, though. And again, I don't want to quibble on that. A win is a win is a win. But I think Congressman Burchett, his point is we have got to make sure that we are not complacent, going to the ballot box. And I do want to go back, the harmony within the House of Representatives. Kevin Kiley, who's a congressman in California, quoted in the New York Times, said, "Rarely have things been completely harmonious in the conference, but it does seem like there is an unusually high level of discontent." Of course, Elise Stefanik going after the speaker a few days ago. You've got Nancy Mace, MTG, and others. Is there discontent within the conference right now?
I think there are always going to be aggressive members who want to be in charge. And so they're always going to be angling for how they can move their agenda. But Congress, and you know this, Todd, is a team sport. And so, you know, it is amazing, nothing short of amazing, what Speaker Johnson has been able to accomplish with the narrowest of majorities this year. At every step along the way, the press counted us out, said it couldn't be done, including most recently with the Schumer shutdown. And yet, you know, for the first time, I would argue, in American history, Republicans, got the better of that situation. Now, obviously, Democrats staked out a position that was untenable of using American workers and American families as leverage, and it didn't work out for them, and they got nothing, and unfortunately, a lot of disruption to people's lives. So I think Speaker Johnson is doing a fantastic job. It is like herding cats, and you'll hear the speaker say that. But I think we are getting it done, and there's always going to be discontent with individual members, and you see that, and that's unfortunate. And we need to, but I think Speaker Johnson is doing a good job of bringing everyone along. Obviously, he has the president helping him, and so the president has to have counseling sessions with some of these members, including some of the ones we're talking about, you know, who constantly require encouragement from the president to stay on the same page with the rest of the conference. But I think we can do that. We've been doing it. The speaker has been doing an excellent job, and I think you'll continue to see Republicans getting the job done and performing in a way that vindicates conservative policies and conservative principles. And I'm proud to be a part of that. Obviously, winding down over the next year as I finish out my term that I signed up for, and, you know, looking forward to getting to be a part of that and helping to, you know, make America great again.
We've got about 90 seconds here, and you are running for governor, and I greatly appreciate you finishing your term, and that means a lot to the voters. What is going to be the most pressing issue facing Tennessee?
Well, so you're talking about the state going forward. I think it's just, how do we continue to, manage the success and lead in a successful environment where Tennessee is growing rapidly and lots of people coming from these states that have lost their minds. And so how do we grow our state and realize the benefits of that growth and yet not lose the character and nature of Tennessee? I think that's the big overarching issue. You know, we can dig down into the particular issues, like how do we solve the crime problem in Memphis and in Nashville and elsewhere across the state? How do we get the right outcome from our schools? How do we get the infrastructure that we need to serve a growing Tennessee? I mean, all of those are challenges that we face. We need a governor who has proven leadership capabilities and management capabilities. And, you know, my background as a business leader, building successful businesses, I think equips me, of those running for this office, it equips me best to do that. And I've enjoyed my time. I've learned a lot being a legislator, but the job of being a legislator is very different than the job being governor of Tennessee, which is a CEO job. And we need someone who doesn't have to learn those skills on the job.
All right. And you also do love Nashville and country music, and you don't get triggered by, you know, prayers in Jesus' name. So that's good.
That's right. And, you know, right, you can put rhinestones on a radical, but that doesn't make them in sync with Nashville.
So. Right. That's the truth. All right. Congressman, I know you're about to catch a plane. Safe travels to you. And thanks for hanging out with us today.
Thank you, Todd. It's a pleasure to be with you.
All right. There you go. Congressman John Rose, one of the good guys in Congress. Greatly disagree with his take on what's happening in the House, though. You got to play by the rules, I reckon. All right, hang tight. We've got to take a break. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, I have a Turning Point USA update. So yesterday, Turning Point USA said On Monday, December 15th, a collection of Charlie's friends will respond to statements made by Candace Owens to set the record straight once and for all prior to the opening of America Fest. We will be live streaming from Charlie's Phoenix studio. Our offer from yesterday holds. If Candace wishes to join us in person, she is welcome to do so. She can let us know by the end of today. That was actually sent out at 12:21 a.m. So now we have a response from Candace Owens. Kind of weird you didn't email or call me to ask about times or availability and chose to instead tweet this confirmation out at midnight. Why am I learning about this on X? December 15th does not work in person. And 2 p.m. is also literally the time I do my podcast live every day, which you knew. But we will happily cancel the daily podcast and we'll join you guys virtually instead for the live stream on the 15th. If that works on your end, let's lock it in. Why not just say, great, no problem, we'll be there. Jeez, Lou. Let's bring in our Republican strategist, Luke Symbol.
Drama.
Oh, my God. I just don't get this. And they're destroying this. They're destroying TPUSA.
It's so annoying. I know. Look, if what she's saying is ridiculous, I almost just say ignore it. Like, she can talk to her little folks. You can, you know, Turning Point, you keep doing what you're doing. You keep doing the ground game. You keep, working these elections. And Candace, you keep talking about whatever you think is happening.
It troubles me because I see so many people, so many young people out there that are getting involved in politics now. And I really wish they would join Young America's Foundation, which has been around since the 1960s. It is a rock solid conservative organization. Now, you're not going to have the YAF events, you know, mom and dad, they have to have a chaperone if you go. Turning Point, it's, you know, you get 16-year-olds in the hot tub. It's a free-for-all, and what? It's a big weekend party. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that.
I will say Turning Point has attractive people working for them. I do think that there is something to that.
Oh, yeah.
I think, you know, like it's a young, attractive, you know, I do think they worked hard. The young, I'm going to get myself in trouble here. The young Republicans in Arizona are one thing, and then Turning Point really hit the ground running, knocking on doors the last election in Arizona. So I'm conflicted.
I will say somebody at Fox News, an anchor at Fox News, once described it like this. YAF is where you go to learn how to be a conservative. Turning Point's where you go to party.
Yes.
That was in the early days. And that was a fair assessment. And no doubt, they know how to party. The reality is, though, they were turning, they were making a turn, and they were really getting their footing and their foundation.
Yes.
And I just don't want them to blow all that up. Luke, I've got to jump in here. We've got some breaking news to share with you.
Breaking news now on the Todd Starn Show.
All right, let's go live to Washington, where we have Pam Bondi speaking this press conference in progress.
This was the work of multiple agencies working together. This morning's operation was carried out safely and successfully. We know that there are so many issues when you're issuing search warrants. Dangerous things can happen, and this was carried out safely and securely thanks to all of the people standing around me. They have worked tirelessly on this. Today's arrest happened because the Trump administration has made this case a priority. The total lack of movement on this case in our nation's capital undermined the public trust of our enforcement agencies. This cold case languished for 4 years until Director Patel and Deputy Director Bongino came to the FBI. The FBI, along with U.S. Attorney Pierro and all of our prosecutors, have worked tirelessly for months sifting through evidence that had been sitting at the FBI with the Biden administration for 4 long years. Let me be clear. There was no new tip. There was no new witness. Just good, diligent police work and prosecutorial work working as a team along with ATF, Capitol Police, Metropolitan Police Department, and of course, the FBI. We are working every day to restore the public's trust. We hope that today is a significant step towards that progress. We'll share more information when we can and when it unfolds. I cannot stress enough how hard Director Patel and Deputy Director Bongino have worked for months to make our nation's capital safer and to make our country safer. I'd like to introduce now Director Patel.
Thank you, General. When you attack American citizens, when you attack our institutions of legislation, when you attack our nation's capital, you attack the very being of our way of life. And this FBI and this Department of Justice stand here to tell you that we will always refute it and combat it. We will provide the safest country the nation has ever seen under President Trump's leadership here. And that's what we did here today with great resolve on a case of massive public importance, as it should be. An individual who is now alleged to have placed multiple explosive devices to blow up multiple people and multiple officials, innocent civilians, is now arrested thanks to the brave men and women of the FBI and the interagency. I want to take a moment to thank the Metropolitan Police Department, the United States Capitol Police, our brave prosecutors, the Department of Justice, and our leader, Attorney General Pam Bondi, and U.S. Attorney Jeanine Pirro, whose relentless work on this case made this possible. As the Attorney General said, we did not discover any new information. What we did, an investigation spearheaded by the deputy director and the ADIC of our Washington field office, brought in a new team of investigators and experts, reexamined every piece of evidence, sifted through all the data, something that the prior administration refused and failed to do. As a result of that, we generated numerous investigative leads, executed multiple legal processes with our U.S. attorney partners, and came to this conclusion today. And that is why we were able to safely secure this individual into custody. Remember, we are dealing with an individual who is alleged to have made bombs. We cannot do this sort of takedown in haste because it endangers the lives of law enforcement. And this FBI will never allow the lives of law enforcement and our prosecutors to be put in jeopardy. This execution was flawless in terms of teamwork, resilience, and just a good old-fashioned way of police getting the job done. When you let good cops be cops, this is what happens. I'm eternally grateful to the team behind me, to the leadership at the FBI who made this possible. But I do want to highlight when I introduce the deputy, he made this case and so many others, including Summer Heat, his priority to come in here and solve it for the American people. And today, I'm proud to stand here before you and say, we solved it. He will have his day in court. The American public and the world will learn even more information through the legal process. As we have committed under this attorney general, we are the most transparent law enforcement operation in U.S. history, but we are also going to make sure accountability is delivered to its fullest extent. And that happens in the courts of law with our U.S. attorneys and our prosecutors. So we will divulge information when it is prudent and constitutionally permissible while upholding the safeguards of this case to make sure that the people that this individual intended to victimize get the accountability they deserve, and most importantly, to deliver on President Trump's promise to secure our nation's capital and the rest of the cities in this country to make sure that Americans are allowed to go out free and securely in their neighborhoods and that people around the world are allowed to visit our nation's capital. And they now have that trust thanks to the leadership of the FBI, the Washington field office. And I'm honored now to introduce to you Deputy Director Bongino, who spearheaded this investigation.
This is the Todd Stern Show.
Thank you all for being here for this critical investigation we've been working on for a very long time. We deeply appreciate it. Thank you for the kind words, Attorney General and Director. I appreciate it. Folks, this is what it's like when you work for a president who tells you to go get the bad guys and stop focusing on other extraneous things not related to law enforcement. This is what happens. We had a great team. I know it's said a lot in this business. It was a team effort. It becomes cliche, but cliches are useful for a reason because they matter. And this was a team effort. The director and the attorney general emphasized that it was not a new public tip this came from. This was our internal work at the FBI. And I want to just really express my sincere gratitude to this Attorney General and this President for allowing us the latitude. I spoke with Ms. Bondi very early when we maybe day two, and I said, we're going to get this guy. And she said, yes, you are. And we did. I want to also thank, he's not here, but Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche, who we deal with often as well, who could not have been more supportive. Whatever process we need, Judge Jeanine, Todd, and Attorney General Bondi, they were there. All you had to do, they were a phone call away. And their team was amazing. We actually never had to make that phone call because they were always responsive. Thank you, Judge, as well. You were amazing. Folks, you're not going to walk into our capital city, put down two explosive devices, and walk off in the sunset. Not going to happen. We were going to track this person to the end of the earth. There was no way he was getting away. Well, we didn't have to track him to the end of the earth. It wound up in Woodbridge, Virginia. I want to thank the team. They were amazing. They never let this go. Attorney General Bondi, for your incredible support. Director Patel, Judge, I know they're giving me a lot of unnecessary credit, but make no mistake, they were intimately involved in this and were there for all of those supportive mechanisms, and I deeply appreciate it. The man whose team did the work is the assistant director in charge of our Washington field office, Darren Cox. Darren's got some comments, and Darren has some more details on the case he can provide. So thank you all for coming. We appreciate it.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm Darren Cox. I'm the assistant director in charge of the Washington field office. Today's arrest of the alleged D.C. pipe bomber is a momentous day for the American public, for the FBI, for our Joint Terrorism Task Force, or the JTTF, and our partners, the U.S. Capitol Police, Metropolitan Police Department, and ATF. We've also had a large number of other federal, state, and local departments that have worked on this investigation. And last but not least, the U.S. Attorney's Office. We all worked hand in hand to solve this investigation. This has been a long week in D.C. After the terrorist attack last week, the grit and determination of the FBI and our law enforcement partners is
all right,
example.
Let me jump back in here, everybody. You've been listening to the live press conference. We're going to have to take a mandatory break here, but just want to recap and share some additional information. Luke Symbol joining us, and Luke's going to stick around after this break. Here's what we can tell you. The Washington Post says that this guy, Brian Cole Jr. is his name, was known for his extremist politics. Now, this is interesting because they're not saying what his politics are in the Washington Post, only that he had extremist political views. Now, we can also report that he lived in that home that we've been telling you about with his parents, and the family runs, are you ready for this, Luke Symbol, a bail bond service for illegal immigrants.
Oh, God.
And they were represented by the civil rights attorney, Ben Crump.
Surprise, surprise.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, I don't think this guy's MAGA.
Agreed. And yeah, you know, if he were, it would be splashed everywhere.
No doubt about it. All right, hang tight. We're going to come back and recap what we know. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, so it looks like we got a member. Oh, by the way, you know what's interesting, Luke? And by the way, Jeanine Pirro. Hey, is Jeanine still talking there? Let's listen in on Jeanine Pirro for a quick second.
For example, there were 233,000 black end caps of the type that were used in this case. I want you to think about the fact that the FBI had to go through the sale of every one of them to try to find commonality with an individual along with the purchase of the
all right, so she's sort of getting into the nuance of it all. You know what I find interesting, Luke, is we haven't seen a picture of the suspect just yet.
I have some guesses as to why.
Yeah.
If it was a far right white male, we would have his picture everywhere is all I'm going to say.
Yeah. So this guy, and again, he's in his early 30s now. That means he was in his mid 20s when all this happened. I think he's 30, and he was probably 24, 25 when all of this happened. He was radicalized, and we believe him to be a member of Antifa. That's the working theory right now.
So, and what was it that his parent, they were bail bondsmen for illegal aliens? Is that right?
Yeah, that's some more reporting is that they were he lived with his parents.
Okay,
the family owned a bail bonds. They owned a bondsman company, so they were bonding out illegal aliens allegedly. So there you go. It's and they had all this info. Again, that's the shocking thing here is they had all of this.
Well, A.G. Bondi. Pam Bondi just said that. She said no new information. All they did was use the information that the FBI already had. Totally unacceptable. And this is what tough prosecution, tough investigation looks like when you have a federal government and the president, frankly, with personnel who is willing to do the actual job instead of focusing on diversity and gender and all the nonsense. They are focusing on doing the job, arresting the bad guy. So well done, FBI.
We don't know. Again, we don't know much more about this guy, but I was able to hunt down his grandfather. Mm. His grandfather is a minority, is a person of color. So my question is going to be, did the Biden administration squash this whole investigation because they didn't want to go down that route? They didn't want to be accused of going after a black person for this particular crime.
Well, we know that the Biden administration was making hiring decisions, was going after local municipalities based on looking at things like race on hiring and policing. So, frankly, that's where one's mind goes. And I think that is a fair question to ask.
The broader scope of what happened on that day, if Antifa was involved in the planning and the planting of those pipe bombs, what were they involved with at the U.S. Capitol on that day? And again, we know so many dozens and dozens of FBI agents were involved. They were in that crowd.
Yep. And who is funding Antifa? Where is that money coming from? And did they fund this weapon? These are things that we need to look at. And these far left radical groups are dangerous and they must be dismantled. And I hope that this opens up even more investigations into dismantling these dangerous, dangerous groups.
All right. Luke Symbol joining us. Luke, thanks for playing along with the breaking news.
Absolutely,
and we'll
Todd.
Get you back next week for our regular segment. Again, Luke Symbol, our great Republican strategist, very involved with the party. Coming up, Dr. Paul Chappell from West Coast Baptist College joins us. Steve Hilton, running to be the next governor of California. He's leading in the polls, and we'll be talking to Steve Hilton in the next hour as well. Your calls about what we have learned regarding this pipe bomber, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today. Write down our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So this is really fascinating. Some of the information they released just moments ago, Pam Bondi, Jeanine Pirro, Kash Patel, Dan Bongino, they were sharing what information they could about the J6 pipe bomber who has been arrested, taken into custody, and now charged. His name is Brian Cole Jr., and we understand that his family owns a bond company that deals with illegal immigrants there in the Commonwealth of Virginia. And A.G. Bondi is just enraged because she said that these were not new tips that came in, that they actually found all of the evidence already at the FBI sitting there just collecting dust. She said there wasn't a new tip, there wasn't new evidence. It was just the hard work of the Trump administration. And this is just insane. Now, they have not released they haven't released any information about Brian Cole and who he was, other than he lived with his parents. The guy is I think he's 30 years old, and he would have been in his mid-20s when he committed this crime. The suspect's step-grandfather, Earl Donnett, told ABC News, or NBC News rather, that he did speak to the FBI. Now, this is interesting. The step-grandfather is a retired DHS security officer. His position at Homeland Security was a physical security specialist, and he retired, but he retired back in the early 2000s. And the irony is, this guy's son grandson may be a terrorist. So what's weird about this is, you know, the guy says he worked for Homeland Security, but Homeland Security was not created until after 9/11. So that's very strange, and that's very peculiar. But according to the grandfather's LinkedIn, he was a retired DHS official. Not sure how that plays into it, but that's what we know at this point. Again, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Still lots of questions, and we're also waiting for the official mugshot to be released as well. So in the first hour of the show, I told you about some of these churches around the country that are using their nativity scenes to make political statements. And there's a Catholic church near Boston, St. Susanna Catholic Church, where they turned the nativity scene into an ICE-themed, as in Immigration Customs Enforcement-themed setting, where Joseph, Mary, and the baby Jesus were nowhere to be seen because they were, according to the church, snatched away by ICE agents. There's another church in Illinois, Lake Street Church, that depicted the baby Jesus with his hands zip-tied. And instead of wise men, there were ICE agents surrounding the manger. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, say hello to our good friend, one of the smartest guys I know. He is the pastor at Lancaster Baptist Church and president at West Coast Baptist College, Dr. Paul Chample. Hey, Dr. Chample, how are you today?
Doing great. Great to be with you today, Todd.
You know, Dr. Chample, I'm just curious to get your initial reaction that some of these churches are politicizing Christmas and the manger scene. This is insane to me.
Yes, if there's ever been a time when we need clarity around the gospel message, it's today. Our country needs to know that God sent his son, the Lord Jesus, in a miraculous fashion to provide redemption as the savior of the world. And instead of preaching that message, you have churches that are using the manger scene in ridiculous fashion, really in a blasphemous way, and distracting from the true message. And that's why I truthfully believe that many of these so-called churches are not churches at all. They do not believe the Bible is the infallible Word of God. They do not believe that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. And that's why there's a fundamental problem with these churches that has caused them to embrace the world narrative rather than God's true narrative for the Christmas season.
You know, Dr. Chample, one of the reasons, and the church has explained all of this in statements on their websites, and they're claiming that Jesus was actually, and Mary and Joseph were actually illegal immigrants. But that doesn't square with the Bible's telling of the birth of Christ, does it?
No, that's one of the newer renditions of the life of Jesus by the modern and liberal church, and it's absolutely not squaring with Scripture. They were not illegal aliens. They were certainly in their home country when God called them, when the angel came to them with the glorious news of the coming of the Savior, and they, of course, traversed to Bethlehem for the birth of our Lord, and certainly we can identify with hardship through their journey. They had a difficult journey, and and so forth. But to try to call them by today's political terminology illegal aliens is absolutely ridiculous.
You know, and Dr. Paul Chappell joining us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. You know, Dr. Chappell, when you look at this special time of year, I'm just reminded of how fortunate we are to have leadership in the White House that respects the true meaning of the Christmas season. I go back to the Obama administration. I wrote a book about this many, many years ago, and the Obamas actually wanted to remove the nativity scene out of the White House, and they were actually counseled against that. They said there would be massive blowback. But again, now it's nice that we have a White House that respects and affirms the Christmas story.
Absolutely. And people go a little bit crazy when you say something like that. We're not saying that President Trump is a theologian or the pastor-in-chief. He's our president, but he recognizes that this nation was founded by Christian people who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that there are still millions and millions of us who worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am grateful for the fact that Merry Christmas is alive and well at the White House and across this nation. And the Obamas celebrated Ramadan every single year they were there in the White House. And from Sacramento to the White House, we've heard of people saying, let's not say Merry Christmas. Let's not even have a Christmas tree, much less a manger scene. And so I applaud the president, and I'm thankful for the fact that he recognizes that this holiday, yes, it's a Christian holiday, but it's something that we don't apologize for. And right now, as we're seeing the rise of Islam in England and even in certain corners of America, they're not apologizing about wanting to convert this nation over to their false religion. And we need to be wise as Christians to not be ashamed of the glorious truth that God became man and dwelt among us, and that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world.
A couple of days ago, we had John Rich, the country music singer, on the show, and we had a really interesting conversation. And he is really concerned about Christianity in America right now. And it was I thought it was a pretty powerful thing, and it was very frank, talking about what he called the moral cowardice of some American Christians. And he's saying that we cannot run from evil. We have to confront these things, these issues that are facing us as believers. What do you think about that?
Well, I believe that there is absolutely the need for courage. I mean, God told Joshua when he was to lead the children of Israel into the promised land, be strong and of a good courage. Have not I told you, be strong and of a good courage. And we do need to speak to the issues of the day. That's exactly how God was using Charlie Kirk. I believe that's how he's using you. That's how he wants to use pastors, and not to be political every Sunday. I get that. Our main thing is to preach the gospel. But when there's a prevalent issue our leaders are facing, they need to know that the clergy of this country stand behind them. And it was John Adams who said, it is the duty of the clergy to address the issues of the day. And I still believe that to be needed in this land. And what we find in the woke church, the liberal church, the theologically watered-down church, is oftentimes effeminate pastors or pastors that should not even be holding the office. The Bible's very clear about the qualifications of a pastor in 1 Timothy 3, and they do not have courage, and many times their message is not biblical. And so it's sad, but it's not new, Todd. This type of compromise it used to be called the social gospel, now it's called social justice. The names change, but the issues of liberalism and denying the truth are the same.
You know, it's interesting. One of the things I really appreciate about West Coast Baptist College, you guys are not taking federal funds, right? I mean, there are a lot of things that are tied to that, and you guys made that decision early on not to go down that path.
Absolutely. And, you know, honestly, we're in an economy right now for small nonprofit colleges where the money is very tight, and it's challenging for our students to get jobs. And anyone that's listening today that has a heart to help students, I've got several dozen of them that need some assistance here at the end of the semester. But we have chosen to help the kids find jobs and to go about endeavoring to raise funds from God's people so that we owe our allegiance to God and not to government. And while we have a reprieve just now with President Trump in the White House, we have seen previous White House's agenda to be very unfriendly to private Christian education. And we want to be able to live freely and teach freely without being told to have LGBTQ clubs or curriculum and so forth. And this is one of the primary reasons that we resist taking those federal funds.
And folks, again, the website, if you want to go and get more information about West Coast Baptist College, I would encourage you to do that, wcbc.edu. That's wcbc.edu. And it really is, it's a wonderful place. What they're doing with the students there is just phenomenal. And I think we need to be helping them out more. So I'd encourage you to go and check them out. You know, Dr. Chappell, one of the things that I also love is that you guys are sending your college students into the schools and you're doing Bible clubs there in the state That's of right. California.
That's right. Our students all have ministry opportunities, and we require them every semester to select a ministry. And we do have public school Bible clubs in 6 high schools in our city. And the college students are able to go and lead in the clubs and teach and share scriptural principles. And, these clubs in these public schools, they have satanic clubs, they have LGBTQ clubs. And the fact is that our Constitution and laws allow us to go in and have actual Bible clubs on the public school campuses. You have to have a sponsor. There are certain guidelines, but every Bible-believing church should be doing that. And again, we're glad that the college students have that experience on the front lines.
Have you guys been able to see any results of that? Any young kids coming to know Christ?
Oh, yes. No, we've seen dozens and dozens. There's a young man pastoring in Seattle, Washington today that was reached through the public school Bible clubs. And I would say that every year there's several dozen young people that accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. And many of them come from fatherless homes. They come into our youth ministry. Last night we had probably 500 teenagers in the youth gathering here. And many, many of them are from these public schools.
This is it's so incredible what is happening there at the college and at the church. And again, that website, wcbc.edu. Dr. Chappell, real quick, you guys are also known for the incredible music ministry and program, and I guess you guys are really gearing up for a great Christmas celebration this year.
We really are coming up in a week and a half or so, December 14th and 15th, Saturday and Sunday night. And we're excited. We have right at a 200-voice choir and a very large orchestra. We've put together a beautiful new Christmas story by way of video that will be interspersed with the choir singing. And we encourage everyone to tune in at lbclive.tv and join with us. It's going to be very, very encouraging.
Wonderful. All right. Well, Dr. Chappell, always good hearing from you. And we'll get you back on very soon. Very excited about what's happening there at the church and the college.
Thank you, Todd, and have a great program.
All right. Dr. Paul Chappell, he is president of West Coast Baptist College, and he is the pastor, senior pastor at Lancaster Baptist Church there in northern Los Angeles County. It's up in an area called the Antelope Valley, which is in the high desert, and it is one of the most remarkable things. They do a spiritual leadership conference every year. It's my favorite thing I do every year, and I usually take a few days off from the show and go up and just get my batteries recharged. And I would encourage you to go and check them out. I know many of you are looking to maybe make an end of the year donation. I would encourage you to do it at West Coast Baptist College. This ministry is so important because their primary responsibility and mission is to raise up preachers and youth pastors and church workers. That's what they're doing here. And they are having just a profound impact, predominantly in California and the West Coast, but really across the entire nation. And they don't take a single penny of government money. And how about that? All right, wcbc.edu. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, coming up tonight, 5 o'clock on Newsmax 2, the Todd Stern Show. Senator Marsha Blackburn, one of our very special guests. And, of course, we're going to have the very latest on the pipe bomb situation out of Washington, D.C. You know, millions of people are now tuning into Newsmax. They're watching Newsmax on cable, going to our streaming channel, Newsmax 2, which you can watch on YouTube Live as well as Facebook, and they're downloading our free Newsmax app on smartphones and TVs. Reuters says Newsmax, one of the top news brands in the nation. And I want you to find out why by watching us. Find out why we're the fastest growing news channel in America. Make the switch today and join our news revolution. You can get Newsmax on cable, on streaming. You can download the free app today. Takes just seconds to start. And let President Trump know that you stand with Newsmax. Real news for real people. Also, a lot of you folks are already out there Christmas shopping, and I want you to go to ToddStearns.com. Check out our store. You'll notice a lot of great merch, great Christmas merch for the conservative loved one in your family and the America First loved one in your family as well. My little book, our Daily Biscuit. That's a good one. Star Spangled Blessings. Devotions for Patriots is the new book, and it makes a wonderful little stocking stuffer, and love for you to get a copy of that, and you can do that at ToddStearns.com, or you can get a copy at Amazon or wherever you buy your books. Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots, it's a wonderful, wonderful gift for your pastor, Sunday school teacher, somebody in your church group, or your family even. All right, hang tight, everybody. Got to take a break. We've got Steve Hilton coming up next. You know, Kyle Becker, who is a former Fox News colleague of mine, says that there are some interesting questions being raised here about this pipe bomber. And by the way, I think the story is far from over. I think we're probably going to see some more arrests. But my question is the cover-up. Why is it that Chris Wray and the FBI covered up this incident? Why did they not arrest this guy? What's really going on here? And is it possible that this is all about DEI, or is something else going on? That's the big question. Anyway, Kyle Becker says there are some major questions. Why did Biden's FBI fail to arrest the perp? Why did the suspect use dummy bombs nearly identical to FBI training bombs? Why was Kamala Harris at the DNC the morning of J6? Why didn't Harris have a news pool detail? How are the Capitol Police implicated in both the RNC and DNC pipe bomb threats? And were the threats part of an establishment backup plan to sabotage the 2020 election objections? These are all fair questions. Fair questions. Want to play some audio? This is from Halle Berry just a little while ago. She is not a big fan of Gavin Newsom. Take a listen.
Back in my great state of California, my very own governor, Gavin Newsom, has vetoed our menopause bill, not one, but 2 years in a row. But that's okay, because he's not going to be governor forever. And with the way he's overlooked women, half the population, by devaluing us in midlife, he probably should not be our next president either. Just saying.
Wow. All right. That's interesting. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to the man who wants to be the next governor of California, Steve Hilton. Steve, good to have you with us today.
Todd, great to be with you. It's looking good here. I'm leading in the polls. A long way to go, but there's a real energy for change in California. People are sick of this nonsense, sick of Newsom, sick of Democrat one-party rule, the taxes, the sky-high cost of everything. The crime, the homelessness, it's got to end. It's going to end next year when I'm elected governor.
There is some new polling data out. This is over at KTLA, this Emerson College poll that has Riverside County Sheriff Chad Bianco with a one-point lead over you. Still, the idea that you've got Republicans that are leading the charge here, Steve, what does that tell you about the mood of the electorate there in California?
Yeah, no, that's right. And that's But there's another one just the other day that had me 5 ahead. So look, it's early days, and the story I think that's coming out from these polls, and what I'm certainly experiencing as I travel the state, is that despite what people think, that California is such, despite the media narrative, that California is such a deep blue state, it's going to be Democrat forever, I don't see it that way at all. People across the board, not just Republicans, Democrats, understand that we can't go on like this. It's not healthy to have one party rule for so long. You can see the corruption. You can see what this leads to, the arrogance of these people. They are the Democrats in charge. They are completely focused on their own internal politics, on their donors, whether that's the government unions or anyone else who pulls their strings, and have completely abandoned regular working people and small businesses in California. That's what this is all about for me. I mean, most of my career, I've been in business. I've been a small business owner. You see how they're struggling in California, the ridiculous mountain of nonsense they have to deal with. Families literally cannot afford to have to make a choice between heating their home and buying groceries. In California, Gavin Newsom brags about being the fourth biggest economy in the world. Yeah, but we have the highest unemployment rate in America, the highest poverty rate in America. Over one third of Californians cannot afford their basic needs, according to a recent survey. It's just a disaster. And so I think that one way or another, we're going to pull this off. We're going to turn things around because we just can't let it go on like this.
Steve, I want to talk about this really clever idea you came up with. Of course, we've been really just stunned by the news coming out of Minnesota, where you have over $1 billion in taxpayer money that's just gone, and this massive fraud. And you've actually launched an online tip line to expose shenanigans in government.
Well, here's the point, Todd. In Minnesota, we're shocked by what's going on. But you can be sure that in Gavin Newsom's California, it's 1,000 times worse. We've had one-party rule by the Democrats for much longer. In Minnesota, it's just 3 years. California, it's 15 years. We were the first state in the nation to have a statewide sanctuary law. Look at the corruption that's already been revealed and the fraud. We had $20 billion from the Employment Department during the pandemic. Criminal gangs stealing that money, fraud on a massive scale, payments in the name of people who were in jail on death row. And then you had on top of that $24 billion, which was the assessment of how much homelessness spending has been completely lost to fraud and waste and abuse to the homeless industrial complex, the corrupt cronies of Gavin Newsom and the Democrats. Then you have $13 billion. That's the spending that has just been increased by Gavin Newsom for free health care for illegal immigrants. That's $57 billion right there that we know about. So what more is there in the system? That's why I set up this line, califraud.com, for any brave and honest civil servant state worker in California to tell us what's going on. Because you saw in Minnesota, for years you had civil servants trying to blow the whistle on what was happening, and they were intimidated and silenced by Tim Walz and the Democrat machine. So I don't want to let that happen here. We need to find out what's going on so we can put a stop to it and save taxpayers' money.
Yeah, well said. CaliFraud, C-A-L-I, fraud.com, CaliFraud.com. And it's a super simple website. You can put in whatever information you have. Your identity will be protected unless you choose to go public. Is that right, Steve?
100%. We've got to protect people. We need this information because it's the people in the system who actually hate this kind of fraud and corruption. They hate it. They're just trying to do their job. And remember, what we're talking about here is taxpayer money that is intended for hardworking Americans. They're paying the bill, and this money is supposed to be there for vulnerable Americans, not to be stolen by foreign criminal gangs or the other kinds of nonsense that we've seen going on. I was just at a toy drive last night in East Los Angeles, heavily Latino community, talking to the people there, and literally everyone I spoke to about this said, we are sick of this. We are sick. We work incredibly hard. It's a struggle every single day. And our tax money is going to people who shouldn't even be in the country. It is completely outrageous.
Steve, you've been traveling the state of California, which is a massive task. I'm curious, is there a big issue that's on the minds of California voters?
Yeah, it's the number one issue. Well, first of all, I'll tell you, it's a very sad word that I'm going to tell you, because it's the one word that really captures all my conversations wherever I am in the state, really with whatever level of person you're talking about, the small business owner or kind of low-income family or someone right at the top of the tree, it's all the same. It's the struggle. It is such a struggle to do anything in California, to make ends meet, to run your business. If you're an entrepreneur, to start your business. It's a massive struggle. And I think that that's really what we have to attack. That's driven by these Democrat policies, in particular, their climate insanity. Why do we have the highest gas prices, electric bills, housing costs, rent, everything you look at? The most expensive in California. We're 50th out of 50 states on affordability, according to U.S. News and World Report. That is entirely because of their climate insanity. That's the number one thing we have to attack, because that's how we bring down costs. That's how we reduce these insane regulations. They're just common sense, practical things like my plans for $3 gas, cutting your electric bills in half, a home you can afford to buy, your first $100,000 free of state income tax. These are not complicated things. They're simple, basic things that you get to by attacking and taking a sledgehammer to the swamp in Sacramento, the bloat and the corruption and the fraud and the waste and the overregulation. That's the plan.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today, we have Steve Hilton, who wants to be the next governor of the great state of California. You know, Steve, I look at these crazy stories, you know, the what's happening to the homeowners that were burned out in the Pacific Palisades and that area, and the way the Democrats in control in California are treating those people. And it's just overwhelming to me that there's just not a massive uprising against those Democrats in Sacramento.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're a very, very powerful Democrat machine. They've been in power for a long, long time. I mean, as I said, 15 years of one-party rule across all statewide offices and the legislature. If you look at the legislature alone, that's like nearly 30 years now that they've had complete control. Last 15 or so with a supermajority, two-thirds majority. So they've built this very powerful machine. They can be intimidating. They got a lot of money. The government unions, of course, corruptly fund the Democrats. So it's an uphill struggle because they've got a lot of, resources there. But the people are with us. The people want change. And that's why I think that despite appearances for people looking in from the rest of, across the country, who see California as a lost cause, it's not a lost cause. People want change, and I think next year we're going to get it.
All right. And, Steve, where can people go if they want to get more information about your campaign?
Thank you so much, Todd. It's stevehiltonforgovernor.com with F-O-R spelled out, F-O-R, stevehiltonforgovernor.com. We'd love to have everyone on board. We got to raise money to beat this machine, but also we need to build a grassroots army. So there's a simple button that says get involved. We're building our volunteer force. Go to stevehiltonforgovernor.com and let's do this. Let's save California.
All right. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen, the great Steve Hilton. Steve, always appreciate you coming on the show. Good luck to you, my friend.
Anytime. Thank you, Todd. See you soon.
All right. Good guy right there, Steve Hilton, everybody. All right, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back. Good to have you with us. You know what I forgot to do yesterday, Dylan? We forgot to do trivia yesterday. So I'm throwing out a trivia question. And somebody's going to win a copy of one of my books. I believe Culture Jihad is the book we're playing for today. And here we go. A lot of entertainment happening around the Yuletide season. There is one particular famous ballet that takes place on Christmas Eve. Can you name the ballet? And if you get the question right, you may very well win a signed copy of my book, Culture Jihad. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Dylan, I got a note from one of our great listeners who said, Starnes, I want you to listen to my child's middle school band. You know, they're doing their Christmas concert. And I thought, oh, this is interesting.
Yes.
So I thought, you being the musician type, we might critique it together.
Okay, let's do this.
All right, let's take a listen. Well, that's not bad. Pretty good. Hello. Oh my God.
If you listen really closely, you can hear the melody in there somewhere.
Were they all playing the same song? That's what I want to know.
They may have all been giving different sheets of music.
Is that it?
Hey, that's middle school band for you, though.
You know, it is. It's interesting because there were parents that were trying not to chuckle.
Right.
You know?
You want to be proud of your kid.
Yeah. No, son is like, Mommy, why were you laughing? Son, those were laughs of pride.
Now let's go practice.
Yeah, some more. And in the neighbor's house.
Yeah.
Just go to the neighbor's house.
In the garage where it echoes more.
Wow. By the way, I heard from our guy, AP,
you
know, who does our trivia, you know, and he's studying to be a big Broadway star. Yes. And anyway, he's in a Wendy's commercial.
Wow.
Yeah, he was just on Rescue 911.
Yes,
right?
Of course.
He played the bad guy.
Playing the bad guy,
and
the dead guy. Yeah.
I said, Wendy's? Because, you know, he goes to the gym and works out the whole nine yards. He said, yeah, they got energy drinks at Wendy's.
Wendy's.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Wendy's.
I'll have to try that.
All right. Let's go to the phone lines here and say hello to Roberta in North Carolina. Hi, Roberta. How are you today?
Doing great. How are you?
Roberta, I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. We're going to try to win you a prize here. We were talking about a famous ballet that takes place on Christmas Eve. Can you name that ballet?
The Nutcracker.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's it, Roberta. But we're not done yet. We've got another trivia question. We got to make it hard, Roberta. So here we go. Frosty the Snowman, are you familiar?
Never met him.
But you know the.
I live in Moorhead. We're in Moorhead.
Yeah, you're not going
to. So
there's not a lot of snow. You'll meet Frosty the Seagull or something.
Right.
So, Roberta. All right, Roberta, let's try this. Frosty the Snowman had a pipe made out of what?
Coal. No. Yes. Coal. Maybe.
Oh, no. Oh, Roberta. Good. Wait, what did you say, Roberta?
I said, was it corn cob?
Yeah, we'll give it to you. Well done, Roberta. All right, we're going to put you on hold, Roberta, and congratulations. I'm going to send you a copy of Culture Jihad. Real quick, I don't want to cut Roberta short, but I need to get to Phil in Daphne, Alabama, wants to weigh in on TPUSA. Phil, what's going on? What's on your mind?
Good afternoon, Todd. It's been quite some time since I called you. What I'm calling about, I heard you talking about Turning Point USA, and they're doing a great job. There's also an organization. I'm a coordinator, actually, for South Alabama for a group called Tactical Civics. Have you ever heard of it, Tom?
Tactical Civics. I'm not familiar with that.
Okay. I'm so glad. It was founded about, we actually got started about 3 years ago. It was founded by a gentleman by the name of David Zuniga. He lives in Bernie, Texas. And our motive is to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ and to get citizens to enforce the Constitution. And if you don't mind, we're going to have a Zoomcast this coming Tuesday And can I give the information out?
Well, we're running out of time here real quick. Is there a website people can go to?
Yes, absolutely. TacticalCivics.com.
All right. Well, you just did it there, Phil. TacticalCivics.com. Guys, go check out what they're up to. Phil, good hearing from you, my friend, and thanks for calling. And sorry, the computer is going to cut us off. You know how this thing goes. Folks, tonight, 5 o'clock, Newsmax 2, The Todd Stern Show. Be sure to watch. And we'll be back on the radio tomorrow, noon Eastern. Get out there, be good, and stay warm, everybody. It's cold out there in Memphis.